The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
It's been a few months now since we caught up with Cove comedian Maeve Higgins in New York. And in that time, she's been on American TV. She's experienced Thanksgiving and she has also been writing about Eric Garner, among other things. Maeve Higgins, good morning.
Morning.
And how are you? How are you?
Great, lovely, mild morning here, John.
Good, good.
It's actually like really confusing because it gets freezing and then everyone like wears their winter coats and everyone looks like these big muffins kind of walking around on little legs, and then it gets warm again. So you're like on the subway and it just feels like a germ box.
Anyway, tell us about appearing on American TV, Maeve.
I made it. It wasn't basic cable. It's called public access TV. If you ever saw Wayne's World, it's basically when people make telly in their garages, and like it's on TV technically, but like really it's on the internet and like, you know, up to a dozen people watch it. And I went on my friend's show. His name is Chris Gethard. He's a very funny comedian and he has like his own public access show. He also like has anxiety issues and like low level depression, like all the best ones. And so his show is like a little bit about that. Like he sells t-shirts saying I'm a bit depressed and all his fans like love that. So his fans are like quite shy, reserved people who all kind of come and like talk about that on the show.
Well, I'm just thinking, given his afflictions, it wasn't very nice of you to be mean to him. We can actually listen now to you and your meanness towards host Chris Gethard.
Yeah. We haven't hung out, but I liked you immediately because you were relentlessly mean to me the first time we met. True or false? Immediately.
So it was before a show in the Bell House.
I think it was Bell House.
Because I feel like we were both going to go on stage, but you were like going on before me.
Yeah.
And what I do as a warm-up is like be mean to the other comedian.
Yeah. And if I remember right, it was something along the lines of you came up to me and you were like, hey, are you nervous? And I was like, not really. And you were like, I think you should be. Because like this is a big show and if it goes wrong, no one will like you.
And you bombed so bad.
That's not true. I did well that night.
Yeah, a lot of people afterwards said that you did well, but those were your management.
Why? Why are you like this? Are you like this to everyone?
No.
So what is it about me that made you instinctively know you could pick on me for your own amusement? Because you did instinctively know that.
I shouldn't have to answer that question.
Well, thankfully, Maeve, you're nicer than that to me.
Yeah. If I spot a vulnerability, I'll go.
Poor man.
Yeah, no, it was really fun doing the show. And like the people that call in, like this one guy calls in quite regularly, but then he gets too scared to talk, so he hangs up. And then Chris is always really nice. He's like, okay, you call back when you're ready, Tommy.
I see. So is this the start of a major TV career in New York?
I think so. Watch out, world. I was like, my parents actually came to visit.
Oh, did they?
And you know, when you move somewhere and you're like trying to do something, you really need like solid things to tell people back home. So like when my parents came to visit, I couldn't just be like, most of the time I'm in my room writing in my little book. So I was like, guys, I've got a TV appearance. I have to go.
So you had a nice week with them anyway.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, I borrowed lots of money and it was fine.
Right. And tell me this about being the belle of the ball. What's that about?
Oh, so I went to this ball. It was the American Celtic Ball. And I think it's like the New York Irish Chamber of Commerce or something hosted. But it was a native, Christina Noble, who, you know, who's amazing. So she was at it. So, I mean, that should have been my main focus. Like, you know, we're here to honor Christina Noble and like to raise money for her and stuff. But all I could think about was like, what am I going to wear? Because like I never go to balls. Like I'm a comedian. So I'm just like in dungarees the whole time. So I went to Rent the Runway, which I think there's an equivalent in Ireland, but it's huge here where like you rent dresses, like high fashion dresses, and you rent them for either 3 days or 8 days.
Was it expensive to rent a dress from Rent the Runway?
Well, I looked them up online and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick one that's like $60 to rent, and like that's not too bad. And then when you can go in and try them on. So I was like, I'm definitely doing that. So I went in and I tried on these dresses, and I went in and I was like, I want to try this one and this one and this one. And they were all around $60. And the girl in the shop was like, oh, we don't have any of those. We've got this one though. And she like brought this silver and black dress into the dressing room, and it was like a fishtail, like a crazy like Oscars party dress. And I was like, oh well, I'll give it a try. And I tried it out, and John, like, I'm not a vain person, like I avoid mirrors when I can, but I was so up myself. I was like, oh my God. And I like looked in the mirror. I was like, Jesus, wow. I loved it. Oh, and I was like, I'll take it. And she was like, what about these earrings? And like all the women were like helping in the shop and being like, look at your butt. And then I was like so happy. And then they put it all in a box with like tissue paper. And like, you feel like you're buying it and like owning it and like, you know, you're really achieving something in life. And then she was like, $348.
$348?
Yeah, to rent it. It was way too much money. It was like, and I wasn't even embarrassed. You know, when sometimes you go to pay for something and it's like a tenner more than you thought, and you're kind of too embarrassed to be like, oh no, I'll leave it actually. But with this, I was like, oh no, no, no. Like, I wasn't even embarrassed. I started laughing. I was like, oh, I can't. Like, that is so much money. Like, I'm definitely, even if I put like all my cards together. And then I was like, no, I'll just go, like, it's fine. And then suddenly the $60 dresses were like available again. She was like, oh, we found them. But the funny thing about this this business is you can read reviews online, and I've become totally obsessed with reading reviews of other girls and their dresses. So I've been, for New Year's, I want to get this romper. It's like a black sparkly romper.
Okay.
Are you still there, John?
I am. I'm intrigued. Absolutely.
I promise I'm going to stop talking about this soon.
I'm spellbound.
So I looked up reviews of this romper, and so you know what? That's like an all-in-one. It's like a glittery thing. It's like something. It's like, you know, something I wouldn't normally wear, but it's like New Year's Eve, you know, whatever. But this girl said, I wore this romper for night one of my Vegas bachelorette weekend. We saw Britney Spears and then partied like rock stars in Vegas. The romper was super easy to wear, loose fitting, but looked fabulous in all photos taken of me, even at 4 a.m. Two warnings. Beware of lifting your hands up over your head, as the crotch will pull all the way up.
Lovely. Lovely.
And two, the loopy sequins are super scratchy. So it's like, okay, maybe I'm not going to get that romper. Yes. It sounds like medically dangerous.
Yes, yes, perhaps.
Camel toe.
You'd also have to do something to be invited to a big event on New Year's Eve to use it as well. So
yeah, I know. And I don't have, they're going to drag poor Christina Noble back for some party on New Year's Eve, but I don't think that's going to happen. She was brilliant at the ball.
Her speech was amazing, apparently.
Her speech was incredible. So it was all like businessmen and like, I don't know, Irish Americans. And like, it was like a good night. Now there was lots of speeches like of businessmen being like, I have factories here and there and everywhere. And then Christina Noble got up at the end because she was the guest of honor. And she sang The Fields of Athenry, which was amazing. And then she just started to, like, some real talk. Like, she was just like, what are ye all doing about the children over in Mongolia? Sure, they don't have enough food, and I'd be dragging them out of manholes and everything. And everyone was like, yikes. Just like trying not to reach for the petty four, you know, while she was talking. So she was like giving out stink to everyone, and then she like turned it around and she was like, thanks for coming, and this money's so useful. And it was brilliant. She's so honest, and she's such a great speaker.
An inspirational woman indeed. By the way, you wrote a serious piece recently about Eric Garner. That's the black man who died after a police officer used a chokehold, and it was widely shared online. Tell me about I Can't Breathe.
So he died there during the summer, Eric Garner. And just like Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, a grand jury didn't indict the police officer. But the big thing about this death, there's been 20 deaths of unarmed black women and men and children in the past, since 2012. And there was the Mike Brown case in Ferguson, which I think made the news at home, and the officer wasn't punished there either, but there was no video of it, but there was video of this. So you can see the video online of like the police officer basically killing this man, Eric Garner, and he keeps saying he can't breathe, and it's really upsetting to watch. But what really upset people was that the officer just wasn't indicted, you know. So there was huge protests on the street that just kind of sprang up, like they weren't really organized, just people were really upset and they started marching, and it was felt very dramatic and people were really upset. There was just this feeling all over the city, you know. And then I had a show, and there was two comedians on before me, like the host and then the opener, and they didn't mention it, and I was like, this is so weird, like they're not mentioning what's happening just outside the door, you know. We were in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. And so then I got up on stage, and like I do comedy because it's like really fun and I love like making people laugh, but I also do comedy because to try and like figure out what I think about things sometimes. And this was like such a big thing weighing on me and like weighing on everybody. So I tried to talk about it. But like, John, trying as like a white woman and also like as a foreigner, because it sounds critical, like it sounds critical of like the police, it sounds critical of America. And it also, I think a lot of people here, they talk about white guilt and, oh, what's the point of these like hand-wringing liberals and their white guilt. So basically there was like really bad vibes when I talked about it on stage. And partially that could have been because I didn't have any jokes about it. You know, I was a comedian, but I wasn't being funny. I was just like working something out.
What exactly did you say, Maeve?
I was talking about how the police are militarized here, and I talked about how in Ireland they're not, and how I think that makes a really big difference. I think in 2013 there was 409 people killed by police in America, and you know there was none in England that year, and there was none in Germany. You know, like the figures are crazy. So I think I talked about that, and I talked about how if it was white women that were being killed by police, you know, like unarmed white women, how frightened I would feel. But because I'm white, I feel like that's not going to happen to me. And like, it's very unlikely that I would be put in a chokehold on the streets of New York and killed. But for a black man, they really feel in danger because like they are, like statistically, you know, from the police. Like, and it really blows my mind because I think of the police as, if I'm in trouble, I'll call them and they'll help me. But like, I think black people in America have a very different view of the police. And I just began to understand that. And like, that's quite naive of me, I think, because I only began to understand it when with the Eric Garner case.
How did the audience react to it?
Well, like you can imagine, like awkwardly, quite like disapproving. Nobody, like there was a woman heckling and stuff, but like nobody was like, openly, I think they were just kind of annoyed, and then and like that it wasn't my place to say, and maybe that's because I was white, maybe it's because I'm foreign, like I couldn't really tell, and I couldn't really get them back again. You know, if you mess up a show, you can often just like tell some funny jokes about like what if I had an ostrich as a pet or whatever, but I couldn't get them back again. Like they were just like, no, we're not interested in this girl. And then there was a comedian after me, and he's a black comedian from Washington. And he was like, thanks to Mauve, he called me Mauve. thanks to Mauve for talking about that. Like, it's weird that nobody talks about it on stage when it's like all that's going on. And then he was like, maybe she understands because Irish people are the blacks of Europe. He didn't say blacks. He said the N-word.
Okay.
And, you know, like that line from The Commitments. And I was thinking about that then, and I was like, you know, I think there is some empathy there because we were, you know, whatever, like we were colonized and we were, you know, we had our own oppressor. But it's very different. Like now, Irish people are really privileged, like especially in America. Like Irish people are very much part of the establishment here, and they're white. So that really changes things. You know, it's not, we're not like other immigrants, and that's crazy to me.
And does that, I'm just thinking, you intend staying in New York for quite a while. Does mm-hmm. the events that you talked about or tried to discuss with the audience, does that impact on your, you know, your view of the place? And might it make it might you make it a shorter visit than you intended as a result?
I don't know. I think it will. I'm trying to figure out like how I can talk about these things in it, with comedy, because I think my most important thing is to be funny on stage. Like, that's the most important thing. But I also think like there's some personal responsibility to like talk about real things, and sometimes it can help, and another times it's just like good for me to do it. And like, I think I love it here, John, you know, like I absolutely love it. And I think America is a great country, and like, that's the thing, right? Like, that lots of black men, they love America too, but there's just like this huge race there's this huge race issue that happens here that's, I don't know, it's very complex. But no, like, I love it, and I think if I can figure, I just need to figure things out. And I think every country has its problems, and but it's just really been brought home to me.
And Maeve, come Christmas, will you spend Christmas in New York?
I'm going to go, yeah, I'm back in Cove for Christmas. So,
and you're looking forward to it, no doubt.
Yeah, I can't wait.
How long will you be home for?
I think like a week.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
Is there a danger you won't get on the plane back, or you definitely gonna,
I know.
You're going to wait and see what
I
happens.
Know, yeah. I'll be at home with all the really cute guards who don't have any guns. That's the funny thing. When I talk about that here, everyone's like, the cops don't have guns? Like, how do they catch the bad guys? I'm like, I don't know. I think they just call them. Yeah. They're just like, hey, come back, would ya?
Yeah, hey, come here, yeah. Actually, I'm just thinking now, Maeve, do we get the hint of an American accent? I'm just talking to you now.
Oh, well, if so, I'll get it hammered out of me at home. I know I will, because I remember once when I came here before for like summer, and then when I went home and I ordered sparkling water, then my sisters like ripped me to pieces because apparently I said like sparkling water. So, yeah, I hope not, because if so, I'm dead meat.
I see. It'll be knocked out of you however long time you spend at home.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'll have to be careful.
Well, but, listen, we have a wonderful Christmas here. And
thank you.
Yeah, and take care of yourself. And thanks.
Thanks, John. You too. Happy Christmas.
I'm just wondering.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yes. Maeve Higgins, thank you, and take care.
Thanks, John. Bye.
Thanks, Maeve.